You know what the hardest thing about being unsure if the path you're taking is? It's the endless cycle of overthinking and rehashing ideas over and over again. Some mornings you wake up bursting with confidence, convinced that you will change the world and do great things. Other times you glance at your life and wonder, what if I'd be happy just being ordinary? In his powerful Put God First speech, Denzel Washington reminds us that true desire in the heart for anything good is God's proof to you, sent beforehand to indicate that it's yours already. So all those dreams and ambitions I hold must be things I can achieve, right? They must be meant for me to accomplish. Or else, why do I have them? But are they really, or are they merely possibilities, potential paths, alternative versions of what my life could be? If I take a moment to dig deep and be honest with myself, I can envision the life I truly desire. I know that an ideal day for me would involve running a business, striving to make the world a little bit brighter, cultivating an environment I love, and nurturing my family. It would certainly need to include making a real impact. But then I question, doesn't that simply mean working in my private clinic as a doctor? Is that the business I would be running? And I can't help but ask myself, would that be it? Would all my dreams lead to only that? I'm not trying to minimize the importance of those things. They truly matter in their own right. But what about everything else? Should I bury all my wild dreams? Should I write a novel about them and unleash them into the world and never speak of them again? The truth is, sometimes while I'm in the hospital, I find myself wondering, what if I could truly excel in this field? What if I could help a lot of people? And before long, I notice the stark and strong lack of resources again. Being a doctor is undeniably significant, and I want to learn how to be the best one I can be. I want to take care of the people I love both medically and emotionally, you know. But deep down, I feel I could contribute so much more if I focused on creating a better environment for both doctors and patients, rather than tinkering at a small scale in a system that isn't working well. Whenever these thoughts surface, I am reminded of a beautiful night not long ago on the metro in Dubai. I was dazzled by the breathtaking view, the wealth, the technology, and I could see what the future might hold, but the most striking thing was realizing that the future is being shaped right in front of us by ordinary people just like us. As I glanced out the window and caught my reflection, I made a promise to myself. I vowed that one day I would do something truly wonderful, something significant, or at the very least I would contribute to that vision. You know those promises that feel sacred, unbreakable, the kind that gives you goosebumps and brings tears to your eyes? That was definitely the kind of promise I made to myself. I can't abandon that little version of me, full of hope, working hard, dreaming big. Because I still hold on to those dreams. They were never just a phase. But what if I fail? Well, I guess if I don't take risks, I'll never be able to succeed, right? As MJ DeMarco writes in his book The Millionaire Fastlane, expect a price to be paid. Expect risk and sacrifice. Expect bumps in the road. When you hit that first pothole, and yes, it will happen, know that you are forging the process of your unfolding story. The fast lane process demands sacrifice that few make to resolve to live like few can. So many people have built incredible things, things that once seemed unimaginable, like Disney and Ford. Throughout history, we see countless examples of remarkable entrepreneurs, both men and women, who achieved everything they wanted and succeeded. For women, I think of Coco Chanel, Estee Lauder, or more recently, Chrissy Chella. These are women who have achieved so much and have founded families or are about to. So yes, I believe that is indeed possible. And I genuinely hope that one day, hopefully in just a few years, both you and I can look back on this moment with beautiful smiles, knowing we've made it, you know? That we've figured out the path we wanted to take and embraced it brilliantly. But until then, let's build ourselves up, step by step, focusing on the basics. Last time I mentioned that my foundation lies in spirituality. However, due to the complexity of the subject and the multitude of perspectives, unfortunately, I won't be able to delve into that here. Instead, I encourage you to seek your own path towards spirituality. So let's shift gears to something I feel more comfortable discussing. How to navigate relationship. For that, I decided to read on the recommendation of ChatGPT, Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life by Marshall Rosenberg. From here on, we'll refer to nonviolent communication as NVC. According to Marshall, NVC has two parts. The first is expressing honestly through four components, and the second is receiving empathically through those same four components. But what are these four components? Observations, feelings, needs, and requests. First, we observe what is actually happening in a situation. What are we observing others saying or doing that is either enriching or not enriching our lives? The key is to articulate this observation without introducing any judgment or evaluation. Simply stating what others are doing that we either appreciate or find unhelpful. Next, we express how we feel when we observe this action. Are we hurt, scared, joyful, amused, or irritated? Finally, we articulate what needs of ours are connected to the feelings we have identified. This awareness of these three components is crucial when using NVC to express ourselves clearly and honestly. For instance, a mother might communicate these three pieces to her teenage son by saying, "Felix, when I see two bowls of soiled socks under the coffee table and another three next to the TV, I feel irritated because I need more order in the shared space of our home." She would immediately follow this with the fourth component, a specific request. "Would you be willing to put your socks in your room or the washing machine?" This fourth component addresses what we desire from the other person that would enrich our lives or make our experiences more fulfilling. As I first read this, I admit it felt a little childish and honestly a bit annoying, and it required too much effort to apply. But as I continued reading and witnessed the impact it had on some people, I decided to stick with it. I'll share some of these stories with you as we navigate this subject today and in future episodes. But before we dive deeper, let's discuss the kinds of communication that block our natural state of compassion. Certain communication styles alienate us from our innate empathy. Moralistic judgments are the first example. Imagine you have an argument with someone, and instead of listening, you say things like, "The problem with you is that you're too selfish," or "You're too lazy," or maybe even "That's inappropriate." According to Marshall, these are forms of judgment. They imply wrongness or badness on the part of those who don't align with our values. It is a language rich with words that classify and dichotomize people and their actions. When we speak this language, we judge others and their behavior while preoccupying ourselves with who's good, bad, normal, abnormal, responsible. Well, you get the thing, right? I know that my own communication has often steeped in this judgmental approach, you know. It has caused me trouble in my relationships. And before reading this, I never saw it as something that needed changing. For me, I simply believed that some people were good and others were bad. And life was that way. But that also implies I'm perfect enough to judge others, which is absolutely and clearly not the case. Marshall writes, "When we speak this language, our focus shifts to classifying, analyzing, and determining levels of wrongness rather than understanding what we and others need and aren't getting. For instance, if my partner wants more affection than I'm giving her, she becomes needy and dependent. Yet if I desire more affection than she's providing, she's labeled aloof and insensitive." Communicating this way helps no one because, as Marshall emphasizes, when we express our values and needs in this manner, we increase defensiveness and resistance among those whose behavior concern us. If people do comply with our values, they often do so out of fear, guilt, or shame, agreeing with our assessment of their wrongness. And we all pay dearly when people respond to our values and needs, not out of a desire to give from the heart, but out of fear, guilt, or shame. But truth be told, why do we resort to moralistic judgments in our communication? I mean, why couldn't we just speak normally? Why is it ingrained in us? Well, this is what Marshall says. Everyone makes value judgments about the qualities we appreciate in life. For example, we might value honesty, freedom, or peace. Value judgments reflect our belief about how life can be best served. We make moralistic judgments of people and behaviors that don't support our value judgments. For example, violence is bad, people who kill are evil. And the truth is, we should articulate our needs and values directly rather than insinuate wrongness when they haven't been met. Instead of saying violence is bad, we could say, I feel fearful about the use of violence to resolve conflicts because I value peace. Now imagine saying that to someone in an argument. That would definitely be weird. I mean, for me. Maybe at first, I guess. But truth be told, if you've ever encountered such a situation, you likely know how important it is to separate our observations from our evaluations. So what does that mean? Marshall provides some clarity on this. The reason we have trouble in our communication is that we confuse the two, that is, moralistic judgment and value judgment, and collapse them into one. For example, we say things like, you're wrong to feel that way. But we must express our feelings and needs without engaging in judgments. So as we move forward, I encourage you and I to pay attention to these aspects in our own conversations, you know? Like the moment you notice a tone of judgment in your mind or speech, pause and remind yourself that instead of attempting to defend, simply allow yourself to express your feelings and needs clearly without judgment. Once again, let's return to the illustration of the mother talking to her son. In this scenario, she expresses her need for order without judging Felix as being lazy or selfish. She instead articulates her feeling directly. In a sense, this is the essence of NVC. The second way of communication that can block compassion is making comparisons, which are a form of judgment. And the third kind is denial of responsibility. Communication is life alienating when it clouds our awareness that we are each responsible for our own thoughts, feelings, and actions. The common expression, have to, as in there are some things you have to do, whether you like it or not, illustrates how personal responsibility for our actions can be obscured in speech. The phrase makes one feel, as in you make me feel guilty, is another example of how language facilitates denial of personal responsibility for our own feelings and thoughts. You've probably seen that video of Steve Harvey, where he emphasizes the power of language. Instead of saying, I have to wake up, I have to go to the gym, I have to go to my job, etc., he suggests saying, I get to wake up, I get to go to the gym, I get to go to my job. This shift in perspective can change your entire life as it makes you aware of your choices and responsibilities. This idea is actually a cornerstone in the personal development and business arena. You've likely seen that idea everywhere in your social media feeds. From Gary Vee advising us to stop pointing fingers and start pointing thumbs, to even books like The Millionaire Fastlane that encourage you to stop being a victim by taking responsibility, followed by accountability. This concept is incredibly important, though. I mean, I faced a moment last year of near depression because I felt like I wasn't in charge of my life anymore. Med school had my entire week planned out, leaving me no time for anything else. I wondered, what was the point of living if I was just following someone else's plan? A plan I didn't control or have any say in. But then something changed. I realized I was choosing this path. No one was forcing me to continue studying. Yes, people had expectations, but no one was forcing me to continue studying. No one was telling me to stay on my course. Only I was. And I wanted to be a doctor. And that was my choice. I was responsible for that. This realization empowered me to create a better plan for myself this year. I decided to tweak things, to start my day with exercise, even if it meant waking up at 4 a.m. or reserving a couple of hours at the end of the day to create content. I am in charge of my life. I don't have to wake up early, work out, eat healthy, or study long hours. I choose to. And just knowing that I have the choice is so freeing. Now let me share a story about how Marshall Rosenberg used the same concept of responsibility to help a woman stop cooking for her family. I mean, that is so not cool, Marshall. Once during a discussion among parents and teachers about the dangers of language that implies a lack of choice, a woman objected angrily, "But there are some things you have to do, whether you like it or not. And I see nothing wrong with telling my children that there are things they have to do too." When asked for an example of something she had to do, she retorted, "That's easy. When I leave here tonight, I have to go home and cook. I hate cooking. I hate it with passion. But I've been doing it every day for 20 years, even when I've been sick, because it's one of those things you just have to do." Okay, that is indeed sad. I told her I was sad to hear she spent so much of her life doing something she hated because she felt compelled to. I just hoped she might find happier possibilities by learning the language of NVC. I'm pleased to report she was a fast learner. At the end of the workshop, she went home and announced to her family that she no longer wanted to cook. Oh my god, that is so funny. 3 weeks later, I had the chance to get feedback from her family when her two sons came to a workshop. I was curious about how they reacted to their mother's announcement. The elder son sighed, "Marshall, I just said to myself, thank God." When I looked puzzled, he explained, "I thought maybe finally she won't be complaining at every meal." That is hilarious. Oh my god. Anyways, let's go on to the next part. There are two other forms of life alienating communication. One is communicating our desires as demands and trying to make others do what we want, which is quite impossible. And the other is thinking in terms of who deserves what, assuming certain actions merit reward, while others merit punishment. And people don't deserve things, you know. Again, if you think that people deserve something, that means you get to judge people. You can't always know what's wrong and right. You might think that things are right or wrong, but that's only subjective, you know? Anyways, I guess that's it for today. You know, in less than a month, I'll be 23. I am and hopefully will still be young and powerful, just beginning my life, so to speak. But that probably means I'll still have no clue how to manage my life, succeed, or thrive. I'll likely still be single, trying to dampen my hopeless romantic personality with hopeless romantic movies. But you know what? As desperate as I am to figure everything out, I choose to accept and embrace the unknown. I choose to live it, to take it step by step in this foggy, misty tunnel. Who knows? I might just find the light. So what do you say? Do you want to join me? So that's where I'll leave it. If you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast or YouTube channel, I'd really appreciate it if you did. Your support goes a long way in motivating me to keep chasing my hero and sharing this journey with you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time, take care and keep chasing your hero.